Well, good morning, everybody. We've been learning about the kingdom of God and enjoying truths about the kingdom that is within us. Yes, I'm carrying around a golf ball. Yes. Motorbike riding, golfing. Golf is the only sport that is eternal. Yeah, you can laugh all you want. It's in Scripture. Yeah. Yeah. He leads me beside still waters and makes me lie down in green pastures. You are really slow this morning, so we're going to just keep working on this and all that good stuff. But yes, I have within my hand a golf ball, and it's a beautiful thing when you hit this in the sweet spot. It's an amazing thing how far it can go, and I know to some of you, you cannot believe that grown people chase around a little white ball, but you have no idea how beautiful golf is in spring and summer and fall. But you're going to learn a lesson about the kingdom of God through this ball. You're going to learn a lesson. The kingdom has laws. All right, the kingdom of God has laws. What are you witnessing right now? That I can't hold on to the ball? No. No. You're witnessing the law of what? And gravity wins every time. That's why Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan to go up to the top of the temple and jump off, went, first of all, you're not going to tempt me, Satan. But he also understood the law of gravity. And he said, don't tempt the Father. He was the Son of God, but he was the Son of Man. And he realized that unless God defied natural law, the law of gravity would win. How many know that? Yeah. So gravity always wins. Now in golf, sometimes your slice wins too. And your ball gets baptized. And you need to get down on your knees along that creek or pond and ask God for a better swing. And I've seen some of your swings, and you best be interceding, okay? But anyway, the law of gravity always wins. There's another law, the law of lift. Well, that's how planes, jets, that's how they're developed. The law of lift takes them beyond the law of gravity. And the kingdom of God has laws, and they work every single time if we follow kingdom truth and kingdom laws. They are operated by faith, and they always work. Let's go back a couple weeks. I'll quickly review. We were in Matthew chapter 6, and kingdom law number one there was you can only serve one master. Jesus was talking about God and money. He says you can't serve both. You're going to serve one or the other. And so whatever masters you, you will serve. But he said, you cannot have two masters. Serve one, serve the other. I'm going to serve God, the one who provides me with finances. Can I hear an amen to that? You know, and we use that often, we say it, but it takes a tremendous conditioning of the heart. But it's very interesting, in Luke 16, Jesus talked about finances, and he said it's one of the easiest things to master. And he said, if you can't master finances, how will you master the greater things of the kingdom? It's exactly what he said. Who will trust you, he said, with true riches? Very powerful statement. So we can only serve one master. Secondly, God is our provider. Boy, do we serve a wonderful God who provides all things according to Christ's riches in glory. Amen, church. He's our provider. Kingdom principle number three in this message, the toil or earth curse system is over. Remember how it came in during the fall of Adam. And one of the curses to Adam was that he would toil. He would have to literally toil and work labor intensively just to provide for himself. Jesus in Galatians became the curse for us and broke every curse that came in during that fall. Amen. Every curse has been broken because of the finished work of the cross. We'll look at that a little later. So the toil or earth curse system has been destroyed. In that passage, Jesus said, why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about the clothes you're going to wear? Basically, why are you concerned about shelter? The Heavenly Father knows you need all of those things. Don't go pursuing them. And then he talked about how the lilies of the field don't labor, don't spin. And yet the Heavenly Father dresses them more beautiful than he dressed Solomon. And so he's going, why sweat it? God's got this. He said, the lilies don't toil. Jesus was painting a kingdom picture of, yes, diligence and work, but one where God now blesses the work of our hands. We find out what our destiny is, what God has built us to do, and then we get into that system of blessing that we live under, and we don't toil any longer. I think one of the things, and I used to be this way, but one of the things that concerns myself, I think us as shepherds, and I'm saying this in love, is people do not know how to Sabbath anymore. They are running 7 days a week. And you say, well, Pastor, you've taught on the Sabbath that Jesus is our Sabbath. Of course he's our Sabbath. We rest, Hebrews 4, in the finished, the Sabbath work of Christ. We rest from our works, meaning we can never obtain salvation. Jesus came. And he fulfilled all of that so we would rest in what Christ has accomplished. So why are you telling us to rest? Because we all need a day of rest. We all need some downtime to rest. If we're working 7 days a week, what we're saying is, here's what we're saying. We don't trust you, God, and you can't provide for us. Well, Becky, you and I can attest that our God is an amazing source of supply. And he is for all of you. So let me encourage you, shut your cell phones off. Well, that would be quite a shock now, wouldn't it? And turn your computer off for some time, a day. Do something and rest. Rest. Go golfing. Or ride a motorbike. Or just do what you enjoy. Timothy says that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. So enjoy, take a rest. Kingdom principle, let your physical body and your mind get some rest. It's healthy. God set it up as a wonderful system. Don't toil. Fourthly, the kingdom operates by faith. And fifthly, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. First priority, seek the kingdom. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Wonderful principle. By faith and seek first the kingdom. Last week, Pastor Larry's message. Wow. Embassies. Embassies. Think about that. The embassy. Ambassadors. That we are Christ's ambassadors. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Sharing Christ. Sharing the love of God, sharing the power of God, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ, because wherever we go, the kingdom of God is within us. And that means when we walk into whatever place of business we're in, whatever place of work we are in, wherever we go, understand that you take the kingdom of God with you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Imagine Medicine Hat. Think about this beautiful city of Medicine Hat. I'm going to tell you something. I love Medicine Hat. Come on, let's, amen. We love Medicine Hat. God had a specific plan for our city, a destiny for Medicine Hat, literally before the foundations of the world. He has destinies for cities. He has destinies for homes. He has destinies for churches. And he has destinies for you and I. But there's a dream thief. The dream thief is Satan. John 10:10, the thief has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, the words of Jesus, that you might have life and have it abundantly. And my prayer has been for 11 years since we got in this city that Medicine Hat would have life and have it in abundance. And you're the people with the kingdom of God. You are the people along with all of the other believers in Medicine Hat that are gathering this morning in the locker room to get a message from the coach, Jesus Christ, to say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And take this message out into the field, the harvest field, and tell people about my love and my grace and my goodness. And so as Pastor Larry, we're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk this morning a bit about our possessions and all that God has given us and talk about that. But we're going to go on a fishing lesson this morning. Is everybody ready to go fishing? Would somebody fish that ball out? Just kidding. All right. Turn to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to walk through this in a way that's just 1 to 11, but just kind of line by line. And we're going to look at kingdom principles. And the challenge that Simon, who is Peter, the challenge that he faced in his mind. Because to grow in anything in life, you must change your mindset. You must change your thinking. You must be willing to open up and say, you know, some of my attitudes are wrong, some of my thinking is wrong, maybe even the view of the way I view Scripture and what it's trying to say to me, what the Spirit is trying to say to me. I have to make changes. Simon had an encounter. He had an encounter with the Master Jesus. But he had an encounter that was so powerful that near the end of this passage, he gets down on his knees. And boy, we're going to look at that for a moment this morning too. And what it did for him and the grace that he received from the Master Jesus. I don't know about you. Every moment of every day, I receive grace from the Master. Every day. Undeserved, but he pours it out on us. Isn't that great? Whoa. All right. Verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, by the way. It's the only place in Scripture Luke calls it the Lake of Gennesaret. With the people crowding around him and listening to the Word of God. Let's just hold on right there. Listening to the Word of God. There's something powerful about listening to the Word of God because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. There's something powerful about you audibly in your private prayer time speaking the word of God. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's something powerful about listening to the word of God. Whether you read it out loud at home or whether it's on a recording or however you do it, something changes within us. And I'll tell you what changes. Unbelief is slowly washed away and faith comes into our heart and into our mind. And it changes our mindset because we are not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we will know what God's will is, his good and his perfect will. How many want to know God's will for their lives? Absolutely. And for our church. And it's by the word of God. It's by the Spirit of God. It's found no other way as we listen to the Spirit. And we're in the Word of God. So they're listening to the Word of God. John 6:33, I believe it is, Jesus saying, is it 33? Yes, it is. Says that his words are spirit and life. Whew. Spirit and life were the words of Christ. And so the crowds gathered around, listening on the edge of this lake. And he's feeling somewhat hemmed in. Because thousands were coming to hear Jesus Christ teach and preach. Why? Because it was so impactful. It resonated with their hearts. And yes, In that day, many turned away. Many turned away. In fact, in that passage of John, as Jesus was teaching, hundreds of disciples left. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Are you going to leave me?" And Peter speaks powerful words. He says, I'm paraphrasing, "Not a chance. You hold the words to eternal life." See, this book, this is the Word of God. And folks, it holds the words to eternal life. And not just eternal life. It holds the words to kingdom life. That if we operate by the laws of the kingdom in this life, we see greater results. Second verse, please. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Now, what was going on? Well, as we get a little further down into the passage, we'll find out that they had been fishing all night long, had caught nothing, and were on the edge and were washing the nets. Why did the nets have to be washed? Well, it was the Sea of Galilee, and if they didn't wash the nets, salt, of course you know this, corrodes. And in that instance, salt would have corroded, the nets would have constantly been weakened, and later on when they did catch fish, the nets could have possibly broke. But there's something deeper going on here, and it's kingdom truth. To receive all from God that we want to receive, we need to be in preparation mode. Write that down. We need to be in a state of preparation. They were washing their nets, preparing to receive their next catch. And we've heard again, and we keep bringing this toward the church, from the prophet that was here in November of 16, get to the edge of the river. There's a preparation that's going on in this church. There's preparation that goes on in our hearts. And it might not just be about this body. It's about what God is doing in the body of Christ in this 11th, I think this is like an 11th hour in our world. And what God wants to do in this hour. And he is preparing the church. And so to receive a harvest of any kind, whether you want to grow spiritually, whether you're healing, you believe in healing and you're believing for healing in your body, whether you're believing for your kids, you should be believing for your kids to come back to the Lord and serve them with great vigor and amazing things, whether you're believing for revival, whether you're believing for a great awakening, I hope you're believing for that. Thank you for three people, but three people can change things. I hope you're believing for a great awakening, church. Okay? Whatever you're believing for, you have to prepare for it. Even if just prior to that you caught nothing, even if you sense there's nothing going on, God is always at work. And you must always be in a preparation mode. That's a kingdom principle. Understanding that the Spirit is always at work in the lives of people, in our lives, in the lives of our church. And you say, well, Pastor, what do we do to prepare? You ask the Holy Spirit for your life. What are you doing to prepare for what God, for what his assignment is next? How are you hearing the Holy Spirit? First thing first, I would say, get with the Lord in the morning. If morning's no good for you, you're more of a night person, spend that time at night, whatever that is, get with the Lord. One of the things I found out this week, and I used to always do this, and it's just funny how, you know, things come into your life and they just subtly, and that's how our enemy works, subtly you just kind of move away from it. I spend a lot of time early in the morning in the Word. One of the things I used to do was I used to plug in to worship first thing in the morning. And I would, when I was in the Word, I would worship the Lord and I'd praise Him and all that, but I plugged into music. Worship, how many know that music does something for us? It's a beautiful gift, and corporate worship, but then individual worship. And so this week I just plugged into my computer, and it's early in the morning. Becky's not up yet, so I didn't want to obviously wake her, put the earphones on, and I just sat. And just before that, it was so interesting. I had said to Becky, what's the secret place? What is the secret place? And the Holy Spirit said, Mark, you know what the secret place is for you. You know what the secret place is. Oh, and I do. I do. For me, it's sitting before the Lord and just worshiping God. Amen. The secret place. And the secret place is where you get the secrets of the kingdom of God. You've got to get into that secret place. You've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You've got to wash your nets. You've got to get prepared for the things that God is going to do. We're preparing you as best we know how as a church for transition and change. And we're going to walk that out by faith. Okay? So get your nets. Get them prepared. Wash them. Whatever that means. Get to that edge of the river. Because in 3 days, we're going over. You ready to go? Amen. Amen. Next verse. This is very interesting. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. So the crowd's getting large. He's feeling a little hemmed in. The edge of the water is here, and he sees a boat. And he asked Simon to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. There's a powerful principle that we miss right here. It's a kingdom principle. The minute Jesus got into Peter's boat, and Peter obeys, and the boat gets shoved out into the water. And we're assuming the water at that point is very calm, but Jesus is in that boat and begins to teach. Jesus takes what is Peter's possession, his boat. Watch this. This is very powerful. Peter pushes that boat out, and Jesus begins to teach. I believe that moment, things changed in the heavenlies. And here's what I mean by that. Jurisdictions were changed. Watch this. The boat that Peter had now became under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. This is very powerful for our lives today. Because we are a nation, we are a people who have many possessions. To whom much is given, much is required, the scriptures say. Possessions are not wrong. I've taught this over and over. Not in any way, shape, or form, except that they could possess you. So they do not become idols. But I said this earlier, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. In fact, for those of you in the study groups that are going to study these notes, you're going to read Proverbs 10:22. And Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no toil or sorrow to it." Don't throw stones at me, just telling you what the Bible says. That's exactly what the word says. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. We are a nation, and we are a people who have been tremendously blessed by God. And what we see here is a kingdom change, a jurisdiction change. And here's my question to you all and to myself today. Is everything that you own God's? The answer has to be yes, because without him blessing the work of your hands, you would not have those things. Or you would have it by toil, and it would mean that you're just pursuing it. And Ecclesiastes says that's just a chasing of the wind. That's valueless. That's nothing. But everything we have now, when the earth curse system has been broken by Christ, and he took that curse away, Deuteronomy says he will bless the work of our hands. I want my hands to be blessed. I want my work to be blessed. And previously in my life, I labored and I toiled. And I took a lot of my worth from how many hours I would work. I want to realize and understand at a greater level, my worth is anchored in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not anchored in how many hours I put in. Most of you think I just put in an hour every week anyway. And then Larry picks up the other hour, and Randy the other hour, and Ken an hour. We just work a total of 4 hours a week. And then we golf. This system was broken by Christ. But are your possessions the Lord's? Are they the Lord's? It's a powerful question. Are they under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God? Because I'm going to tell you something. Everything Becky and I have, we could never have accomplished on our own. It is a blessing of the Lord. Everything we have. Everything. And I'm just not talking possessions. We have three amazing children. That's right, I'm bragging. You should be too. You should be speaking over your kids, man. We have two amazing in-laws married, meaning Shauna and Justin. And Josh is a little slow right now, but he'll get there. You should cut that off the tape, because if he gets this, I'll be in trouble. We have five of the most beautiful. You think your grandchildren are beautiful? You ought to see ours. Our kids love Jesus. Our children love Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but his kids lose their soul? Think about that. Kingdom. Are your possessions, is everything you have, is your bank account under the jurisdiction of the kingdom? Is your business a kingdom business? How many here own a business? Lift your hands high. Oh, Lord, bless the businesses. Amen, everyone. Kingdom business. Is everything you have the Lord's? Because when it is, you realize you can just freely give away. Freely give away. And God will freely give back. Very powerful. So there's a jurisdiction. I want you to get this point. If anything I want to nail home today, I want you to leave here going, the boat transferred titles. It now became a kingdom boat. And Jesus begins to teach. Next verse. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now what's he going to do? Well, he's going to show them that his words work. He's going to demonstrate the power of the Word of God. And here's what he says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This is very powerful also. Verse 5, here's Peter's response, much of it like our own. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. Other translations, we've toiled. Go right back to Matthew 6, we've toiled. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now, the word nets there, and this has been studied, they've translated it nets. Most people have really studied this word out because there's a bit of a switch in the Greek there. And most translations, and some of you will have the King James and so on and so forth, it says he let down the net, singular. The net. All right. Can you imagine Peter? I can imagine Peter. Here comes the carpenter, the teacher. Here he comes, the guy who knows everything about carpentry, and he's telling me how to fish. Really? Jesus. You can kind of get a picture of this, and this is often how we respond to God. Really, God? Really? You heal. I haven't seen a healing for years. Really, God, you set people free and deliver. We haven't seen that for years. Really, God, you bless those who bless you. I haven't seen anything like that. So we take our experience and we elevate it over the Word of God instead of bringing our experience up to the Word of God. And this is something for Peter. You can imagine his thoughts. He's going, We have toiled all night long, and you, yeah, I like a lot of your words, Jesus, but you're a carpenter. You haven't got a clue how to fish. That's what he's thinking, I think. I want to read you a story. I mentioned this a few weeks ago about Medicine Hat, because it has relevance for our city, but it has relevance for you today. They were talking about drilling for gas in Medicine Hat, and the mayor of that time in 1904 said, "We're going to drill. There's gas down there." Listen to this. The first wells were shallow, and the gas was mixed with water, which would freeze in the winter, making distribution impossible. Then in 1904, the town fathers decided to drill a deeper well. At 1,000 feet, the coffers ran dry. But the mayor said he would find more money and ordered the drilling to continue. This mayor had faith. 10 feet later, the drill hit gas, spitting the drill bit out of the ground like a watermelon seed. The mayor was just getting dressed and ran down to the well with his suspenders hanging around his knees, according to a city historian. You're all thinking, what's the moral of the story? If Peter would not have listened to Jesus, and he didn't fully listen, he would have missed what happened next. Now listen to me. The kingdom operates by hearing the word and doing the word, by hearing the word and being obedient. And some of you here, I think the majority of us, are 10 feet away from the greatest breakthrough you've ever experienced in your life. And what Satan wants you to do is have you give up on the greatest breakthrough of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit in your life, and he would want you to give up. But you stand your ground in faith, and you hear the word of the Lord, and you say, "I will not give up. I'm standing on the word. My greatest days are ahead." And what he wants to do is stop you from a great breakthrough and stop the church. That's been his modus operandi from day one. Stop the great salvation of God. Stop the harvest of God. But here, folks, nothing will stop the great plans of God. But you can. You can. You can stop them in your life. You can stop drilling. You can say, "I give up. This faith thing doesn't work. There's just no way this works. My finances have been terrible for a year. And I've stood on the word and I've sowed my seed. And Pastor, you're not preaching the truth." Oh, yes, because we just preach the word of God. You need part of the kingdom of God. Faith grows in perseverance and patience. And you stand on the word of God and you keep drilling into the word. You let the Holy Spirit do the work. There's a great breakthrough coming to our lives. We're upon it. We're upon it. Imagine if the mayor would have given up. The city of Medicine Hat has wealth because one mayor said, "Don't stop." Maybe Medicine Hat is going to have a move of the Spirit because one saint said, "I will not give up." Wow. I'm going to, yes, yes, Lord. This has principles to it. It has financial principle to it. Where are you throwing your finances? Are you giving? Are you trusting God with your finances? We're going to teach on kingdom finances in a while. What are you doing with your finances? There's a principle. Jesus knows where you should be throwing your nets. He's going to prove it to Peter. We've worked hard all night. There's nothing out there. You don't think the Creator who created the lake and the fish knew where the fish were? He told Peter how to pay taxes. That's right. How did he do? Look at everybody's perking up now. How do we do that? Throw a line in. Scripture doesn't even say whether the line had bait. Got you there, didn't we? Throw a line. Boom. Some fish had swallowed a gold coin. Up it came, pulled the coin out, paid their taxes. Watch everybody go fishing this aft. I can just see everybody just throwing their lines out there. Jesus knows where you should cast nets. Spiritually, physically, financially. This is kingdom principle. Listen to the voice of the master. Listen. Listen to the voice of the master. Cast your net. I have been pondering this even as a for our church and sharing with the guys going, are we casting our nets where the Lord would have us cast our nets? Speaking now of the catch of people that God has called us to. Are we casting them correctly? Are we in the right field? Lord, help us to hear the voice of the master and cast the net. Nets, excuse me. Okay, don't hold back here. Cast the nets. Don't hold back. Okay? Are you sowing into the kingdom of God, or you've got your finances with a clenched fist? That's my money. Because if you're like this, you can also never receive with open hands. That's a kingdom principle. Seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping is kingdom principle. Because all things belong to God. Okay? Next verse. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. I'm going to tell you another thought I think Peter had. You've got to be kidding me. We just washed the nets. Seriously? We've just washed them. Our mind gets in the way of God so often. Come on, think about that. Right? Are you kidding me? Really? We got a blessing from the Lord about a year ago, financial blessing. This is funny. I'll just use my own as an example. And this blessing came in, and it was, yee-haw. And then the Lord said, I want you to give 90% of that. You're not talking right now, Lord. That has to be Satan. Becca, we got this. I want you to give 90% of that. That is not God. You're saying you're boasting. Not at all. I'm using this as a life example. And we heard it. And we went, yes, Lord. What a joy to give 90% income. What a joy of that blessing that came in. What a joy. It's better to give than... And by the way, in the kingdom, open your hands, you'll receive. You'll receive. Wow. We just washed the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Next verse. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And Peter's feeling like an idiot. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Man, I'll like a harvest like that. I don't know about you, but boy, that'd be great. They filled the church so full in two or three services, they had to build another building. Amen, Pastor Keith. Come on, church, let's get with it. The harvest is upon us. Next verse. This is so powerful. This is kingdom principle now. Jesus bringing the kingdom to Peter. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. Look at the word, Lord. He calls him master. He's a king. Peter's taught you can't be in the presence of God when you're unholy. You're a sinner. You're dirty. You're rotten. You're no good. But Jesus brings the Father's heart. I am a sinful man. True statement. That's a true statement. I'm a sinful man. Why? I didn't believe you. I didn't have faith. He saw himself that way. But he calls him master. And he says, go away from me. I can't be near you. And Jesus goes, not happening. I'm bringing the kingdom. Watch this. Verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. What's your destiny? God wants you in your perfect destiny. God wants you to throw the net in a place in the lake that you would think is ridiculous, where you don't toil, where you get in step with the things of the Holy Ghost. And the harvest comes in every way, spiritually, physically, financially, in family and everything. Why? Because that's the will of the Father for our lives. In every way to be blessed, in every point of our life to be blessed. Kids, grandchildren, the whole works. He's a redeemer, church, and he's a blesser. Next verse. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, and this is our word for today, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Why don't be afraid? Because he realized he was sinful. He shouldn't be in the presence. I believe he had a revelation of who Christ was, and there's no way he should be in his presence. And Jesus brought the kingdom. What was the kingdom? Grace, love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's what Jesus brought. I could swing a golf club right now. He brought it all to Peter and said, you're going nowhere. You, I've chosen you. Grace redeems you. Love redeems you. You are going to be changed. Listen to me. You're going to be changed. I've not given you a spirit of fear. I've come to break every curse that Satan has tried to put on you, Peter. And all you have to do is appropriate it by faith. That's the word of the Lord for today for all of us. The curse has been broken. It's been destroyed. Good thing I'm coming to my notes. Are there extras at the back, Lynn? For this, right on. And we're going to try and put all of our notes now, sermon notes, on the internet, by the way. Four principles from this passage, kingdom principles. We are stewards in the kingdom of God. Whew. Isn't that amazing? You know, we relate stewardship to penny pinching. And hear me when I say this. I say this with love and grace. We've had to do that, okay? Being a good steward. The church, if we're prepared, is coming into a different day financially. Now, don't run away on me here. We are. It's to build the kingdom of God for an end time harvest. Just let that sink into your heart. It's to use so we can, in these end days, this 11th hour, bring people to Jesus Christ. It's a new day, folks. We're stewards. Secondly, we listen and obey the words of the King. Be doers of the word. Listen and obey. Throw both nets and don't complain if you just wash them. Thirdly, faith requires action. Throw the nets. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Get into your destiny and stop toiling. Work by the Spirit of the living God. In my early days of ministry, I'm going to close in a minute. In my early days of ministry, I remember, the first January that we were in Empress. And one of my former board members attends this church, so he'll find this quite comical, I'm sure. But it was January of 2001. We arrived in November of 2000. And the church building was on kind of one end of town, and the church parsonage was on the other end of town. And it wasn't that far, trust me. wasn't the largest city on the planet. A whopping population of 170. I remember driving into that little town with Mitchell the first time I was going to preach. And I drove in and I looked around it. I've shared this before, but I went, oh, dear Jesus. Do people really live here? And I looked at Mitch. I said, Mitch, I'm preaching and we're getting out of here. Exact words. And the Lord had different plans. And so I remember the January of 2001 walking home. It was 5 o'clock on a Friday night. It was minus 30 something. Middle of January, the town is black can be, and there ain't a soul in sight. And I'm walking home, and the wind is howling because Becca phoned me and said, you're walking tonight, sucker. Just kidding. she didn't say that. So I'm walking home, and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me, Lord. You've got to be kidding me. And he said, no, actually, I'm not. I called you here to throw some nets. You just think about that. And here's the other thing. Don't be thinking that the kingdom of God is filled with these massive assignments that we think are massive. A cup of cold water brings the kingdom of God to thirsty people. You think about that. Never, never, ever say no to what you see with the natural eye is a small assignment. You need to see the assignment through the eyes of the Spirit. You've got to see kingdom assignments through these eyes. And I'm looking at the clock and I've preached a long time. But you have to see assignments through the way Jesus sees assignments. Okay? You have to. Never despise the day of small beginnings. That's a kingdom principle. And do them. You think of going back to your possessions? Well, how can we use our possessions? What about your house? God's house that you live in. It's His. You're stewarding it. Yeah, but I'm making the payments. Really? Really? Seriously? He's given you the strength to work. He's given you the blessing. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, he says, I'm going to give you ways to create wealth and so confirm my covenant. He's given you that home. How about your home? How about your vehicles? Well, that just is a mode of transportation. How about taking a senior shopping one day with your vehicle? How about picking somebody up for church? We could fill these chairs in one Sunday if we brought someone with us in our vehicles. Amen. Everything we own, every possession is the Lord's, and it comes from the kingdom of God. And at the end of the day, everything we have is going to someone else. Or it's getting burned up. There's a sobering thought. That ought to give you a lot of hope to leave on. Let's all stand. Everything we have is the Lord's. Everything. Let Him tell you how to use it. And you know what? All of us love to be blessed by God. Come on, say amen. Amen. God comes through and He blesses us. Everything that we own is God's. Kingdom principles. We're going to be on this track as a church for a long time. Because we need to understand the kingdom of God, folks. Yeah. We're going to keep it quiet this morning for a few minutes and let the message go into our lives and our hearts and our prayer before service. Pastor Larry, we prayed that it would return 30, 60, 100-fold, didn't we? Yeah. And it would just go into your hearts and change our lives. Let's all bow for a moment. Let's just have a moment of quiet with the Spirit. Father, we praise and thank you for the Word of God. Wow. It's life-changing. Every day it's life-changing. The kingdom of God is within us. The Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, I want to pray for this church that we do not toil, but that we walk by the Spirit of the living God. I want to pray for everybody here that if anyone is toiling and struggling, that they would seek the kingdom of God, because it's not the Father's will that you toil. It's the Father's will that you labor and work and be blessed when you do that. It's not His will that you're tired and you're toiling. Father, teach us kingdom principles about love, faith, mercy, grace, compassion, about finances, about the power of our words. I pray that in your name. Now, is there anyone here this morning and you'd say, Pastor Mark, I need to give my life to the King of the Kingdom, to Jesus. And the way you do that is not a religious way. It's by faith, by confessing with your mouth, by believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, the scripture says, you shall be saved. It's coming into and being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's by grace you put your faith in God's grace. And if you'd lift your hand, someone would pray with you, and you'll receive Jesus. You become part of the church. Is there anyone here you'd say, Pastor, I need to do that. I need to give my life. Anyone here, you'd say, Mark, I just got to get things right with God. Lift your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, I saw that hand, sir. Anyone else? I'm going to wait. Okay, third one. I'm lifting my hand. Anyone here want to learn how the kingdom works? So let's lift our hands. Father God, thank you for this beautiful church, the people. Thank you that we're learning things, Lord, and seeing things in this season of our lives that, Lord, are so amazing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, and anoint us and baptize us with power, Lord. We pray and bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, David, just in a moment, I'm going to have you turn some music on quietly. George and Isabel, I'm going to ask you to come. And Pastor Larry and Terry, would you come? There were two gentlemen, a young man and another gentleman, that to rededicate their life. Sir, I saw. Would you come? And they're going to pray with you this morning. All right? And on that note, tonight at 6 o'clock is prayer time, and we'd love to have you come. Have an incredibly blessed Kingdom Week. And we all said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.